and welcome to Share Truth, Apply Scripture. I'm Jordan Shambly, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Cedar Sarton. What's up?
I never get used to that, being a co-host of something.
I could say something else if you want.
What would you say?
My friend.
My buddy, my pal.
Right.
I'll tell you, that's fine.
Yeah,
I'm fine with that.
Okay. From now on, no, I don't know about that. I don't know if that's going to stick. We'll just stick with co-host.
This is your dude, the across the room, the girl that's the on girl. The show. Yeah. The girl
as
of
always,
the show.
As always, I'm joined by the girl, Cedra Sarton.
The girl of the show.
All right. Well, this is, we could puzzle around over what to call each other all day long. But for those of you who are just tuning in, maybe you're not familiar with Share Truth Plus Scripture. We are a radio program / podcast. It's our goal to seek to engage with questions and topics that that we think have a lot to do with a certain age group of Christians. That's from just coming out of high school, going to college, starting a career, starting a family, maybe just getting into adulthood and going out into the real world with all of its great, beautiful problems, and a lot of those issues that we want to engage with scripturally and apply scripture to those things. So that's really what we're concerned with. But of course, everything that we talk about on this program can be applied to any Christian, no matter where they come from, no matter who they are, no matter what their age is. So I think I love that mission. I love that we are seeking to talk to that group of people. It doesn't feel like that long ago I was a part of that group. Maybe I still am. I'm not sure. Having three kids, it's you don't know if you're old yet or not.
No, we're young.
Okay. Well, good.
And I say that because I'm older than you. Barely,
yeah, so
but
if
I'm
old, you're old.
You.
Yeah, that's true. Well, before we go too far down that path, we have a guest in studio with us. Again, Chris Woodward from American Family News. Thank you so much for being on with us.
Yes, if you're not familiar with me, I'm the old-looking guy who's not much older than these two, but
right.
For bad DNA purposes, I look like I'm old enough to be their dad.
You look wiser than us. Let's just say you look wiser.
It's not through righteousness that I have this gray hair. It's just genes.
Right.
Well, if you want to know more about what's going on around the world, we do have a news source here at the American Family Association. It's called American Family News. And if you go to AFN.net, they're constantly posting. Of course, if you're listening to us right now, you probably hear the news at the top of every hour.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also find those segments there, along with a daily news video by Bronson Woodruff, one of our news anchors. So
right.
they're constantly posting up stories. So there's more news than what you hear on the radio even. We love to have Chris come on and just to share some of the stories that he feels is relevant to our target audience.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to go ahead and throw it to you, Chris.
Yeah, big story for us a couple of days ago was this year's National Day of Prayer Observation.
Right.
National Day of Prayer 2024. It's always this time of year in early May. And this year's theme was Lift Up the Word, Light Up the World, which I think is a very timely theme given the amount of darkness that we seem to be seeing and talking about throughout not only the U.S. but the world.
Mm.
And speaking of darkness, the president of the National Day of Prayer Task Force, Kathy Brenzel, was on a show we air on AFR called Washington Watch, and she said they came up with the theme, again, Lift Up the Word, Light Up the World, based on the amount of darkness that we're seeing. And one of the places she mentioned we're seeing a lot of darkness is on campuses.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been a huge story for us this week. Everybody's covered it. It's almost like other issues that were the issue in this election just seemingly disappeared.
Yeah.
When a lot of news outlets, understandably, started covering what's going on at places like Columbia, University of Texas at Austin, UCLA, even the University of Mississippi, Ole Miss, had some pro-Hamas, pro-Palestine protests going on this past Thursday, just a couple of days ago, not far from where we're sitting here in Tupelo, Mississippi. So this has been an issue nationwide. Of course, we had that now iconic situation, iconic photo, where some students in North Carolina protected the flag. They lowered a Hamas flag and protected the flag, the U.S. flag. So there have been some positives. There have been some negatives. A lot of people are being ugly with one another, and we really need to pray for peace in this situation because it doesn't appear to be dying anytime soon.
Yeah. Man, when these kind of things happen, what an opportunity I see for Christians in this situation to to really be the hands and feet of Jesus. Because what you have here is, no, I mean, this can apply to any situation that is like this. I mean, this is a situation where people are coming face to face with the idea of good and evil in a very kind of like visceral sense. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's a strong reaction against something that they perceive as, this is evil, this is wrong. Whatever side of this argument you're coming from, that's what they're feeling. And it begs the question, you know, by what standard, you know, are you saying that this is evil? Like if you have a godless worldview, you know, why are you up in arms about this? Like, what does it matter to you? And I don't think that there's very many people who expect that kind of conversation to arise out of this, because this is very specific thing that's going on in a place in the world. Horrific things are happening. It's also very politically charged, no matter where you're coming from on it. And that's not the kind of conversation people are prepared to answer. Mm-hmm. They want to fight over political lines. They want to fight over ideological lines. But bringing them to the apologetics of, you know, what even are you standing on, you know, when you're arguing against whatever you're arguing against, you know, whatever you're doing here, you're acting very violently. Obviously, you feel very strongly.
Yeah.
Why? And I think that that's a conversation, an opportunity for Christians to shed some light in these kind of situations. Mm-hmm.
I feel like it wasn't that long ago we were discussing, especially during the holiday season, how to engage with people on such matters in a Christian manner, how to stand firm in your faith, but also still be loving and Christ-like.
Right.
And like you said, this is a great opportunity to show how you can do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I wonder too. Like, I mean, the saying goes, "What would Jesus do?" And you know, these kind of situations, these kinds of, you know, protests or whatever, when we see people acting in a way that we think is wrong, you know, it can really, we can dig into our human side, our fleshly side a little bit, in our response to that, and we can, you know, act as wrong as they can, but maybe in the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. But asking, you know, what would Jesus do if he were present right now? And he is, you know, when there's a Christian there is a sense that Jesus himself is there because you are his representative. You know, how are you going to represent him in that situation? Are you going to give into the fleshly desire to maybe lash out, maybe to, you know, respond in a very violent manner, be there in person or, you know, on social media with some very choice words to treat people? Or are you going to respond in a Christ-like manner? And it's also, you know, an opportunity for some self-searching.
Yeah.
You know, how do we respond to these things?
A lot of these people, if not all of the people on the television, on campuses, we all need Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay. And sometimes we're the only Jesus that somebody is going to see.
Mm.
We are the only Bible that some people are going to see. And speaking of the Bible, it's times like these, in my experience covering news, that people will respond to it based on what Bible verse they know by heart instead of like the whole of Scripture. For example, there have been people that have said, true, accurate Bible verses, like there's a time for war. But the same God also says things like, blessed are the peacemakers.
Right.
So we need to know what does God say about everything.
Yeah.
And then we know from Scripture that God tells us that, you know, if we bless Israel, we'll be blessed. Mm. So we need to really pay attention to what Scripture says as a whole to apply all of Scripture, the whole of Scripture, to a situation, and not one verse out of 66 books that we built an entire worldview around.
Mm-hmm.
And when we live our lives in that way, I think we're doing a better service to somebody in sharing Jesus with those for whatever situation it may be. It doesn't have to be the anti-Israel protesters.
Right.
It could just be sin in general or whatever the issue may be.
Yeah.
I remember growing up and being in school, and one thing we were taught and it was drilled into us is how to use context clues. Mm-hmm. And that is like to take something that we're reading, all right, now pull from the whole story. Like, okay, don't narrow it down. You see this one instance. Broaden out and read more around it so you can see what's going on. And I think that also that goes for Scripture as well.
Yeah.
I mean, like you can't just take one verse and it's just what you were saying, like cherry pick this little verse to make your whole life about that one thing, and then like don't read before or after that.
Yes. And, you know, I've said this before on the show, please do not get your knowledge of Scripture from Facebook. It's one of the worst places to get knowledge of Scripture, but even a news outlet. A news outlet will cherry pick and write stories and make angles of stories around one or two verses. An example would be a news outlet pointing out verses like a woman needs to be silent in the church. As if, you know, Christianity frowns on women, which is completely not true.
Right.
They don't do an exploration to figure out what else that chapter says or what the Bible had said. You know, I'm supposed to love my wife like Christ loved the church. There's all kinds of things in Scripture that we need to make a personal point of actually studying for ourselves and not go with what a news outlet tells us, or certainly not what a social media post tells us, because even if those people have the best of intentions, through human error, something might be overlooked and then you're misled inadvertently.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We should be students of Scripture ourselves.
Absolutely.
You look at things like that, whether you're looking at a news source or if you're on social media, remember there are human hands typing out all that and is subject to fault and error.
And I think, too, going back to the Scripture, I think that speaks to the power of the transformative power of Scripture. If we are approaching the Scripture with our, you know, favorite ideology, whatever that may be, our favorite issue, you know, and that's the view, that's the lens through which we view Scripture. Scripture is going to be twisted to support that, you know, that's just going to happen. But if we come to the Scripture asking God, I want to adopt your mindset, I want to adopt your worldview, and just completely surrender, you know, whatever belief that you have, whatever your favorite issue is, and allow Scripture to inform your worldview rather than your worldview informing your Scripture, I think that then you begin to see actual sanctification and transformation in your mind.
Right. Another unfortunate situation, this could very well have been the lead story here. A lot of Americans in places like Oklahoma and Nebraska were just knocked out in recent days due to horrific storms, tornadoes, severe weather, straight line winds, severe weather, you name it, they probably got it. A lot of people had damage. There were some fatalities. There were many injuries. A lot of businesses are lost. And in this economy, if you run a business, you were already struggling. Now you don't even know how you're going to have any income due in part to the tornadoes and storms and stuff that blew through there. Much like missions, this is one of those opportunities where we can respond somehow, some way. Some people can go. Many of us can give somehow, some way. It may not be much, but, you know, we might have $50 or $100 or something. All of us can certainly pray for this situation. And, you know, if you know somebody in that area, maybe you know a church, a pastor that's working around the clock as if they don't already work enough to try to help people, provide them food, places to wash their clothes, all these kinds of things. Be praying for them. Maybe find a church in the area, send them a note. Have your Sunday school do it, something as an activity for you as the body of Christ to love somebody else. Wherever it may be, even if you don't know them, this is just a good opportunity for you to be the loving hands and feet of Jesus after a storm, which you might be victims of next time around.
And if you don't know where to begin, like if you want to help and you're like, I would like to go, but I just don't know who to reach and stuff, there are always people like our friends at 8 Days of Hope, Steve Tiber. I bet there's, you know, when these things happen, they're always suiting up and getting ready to start going out there and taking volunteers to help clean up and whatever. So maybe look into certain ministries like that and keep an eye on that, and they'll provide opportunities for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I love that, you know, even over the course of history, the church has had this this reputation of being helpful, of being, you know, there to aid the needy. Of course, that's being preached in the Scriptures. I mean, we're told that true religion is the kind of religion that goes out and takes care of the orphans, the widows, the people who can't help themselves. And we're always told to speak up for those who can't speak for themselves. There's always this heart in the Scripture for people who are needy, and not just needy spiritually, needy physically. Like, our bodies and our physical well-being is important to the God who made us. And so throughout history, even people who haven't been Christians, you know, they knew that if they were in need, they could go to the church and they could get some help there somehow, some way. And it's just, it's a wonderful privilege, I think, for Christians to be able to participate in that, that heritage of being helpful, somebody there to be kind of a beacon of hope for people who are helpless, and of course, to point them to the gospel in the meantime.
All right. Speaking of the gospel, I bring this story up not to bash the denomination, but to warn people never to kind of pound your chest and say, well, it doesn't happen where I go to church, because you might be next.
Right.
As we reported on AFN.net, the United Methodist Church has repealed its longstanding ban on so-called LGBTQ clergy.
Yeah.
In other words, people in that community who want to be pastors in the United Methodist Church can now do so based on some actions that the United Methodist Church, which has been losing numbers over issues such as these, they can now do so and practice openly in that particular denomination. A lot of people have moved from the UMC and started other denominations. Maybe they've changed churches completely over this issue. I'm not bringing it up to bash on the UMC, but
sure.
I do. One of the things I've noticed when a denomination you might not be a member of, not you specifically, but just a person listening. One of the things I've noticed over the years is when the other denomination does something liberal, something against your knowledge of Scripture or what Scripture says, they kind of pound their chest and go, well, you know, I'm Baptist or Presbyterians will never do it, whatever it may be, non-denominationals, all these kinds of things. Scripture tells us that in the end times there will be a falling away. It does not say in any version that I'm familiar with, there will be a falling away of the United Methodist Church. They're talking about church in general, the big C. So we need to be watchful and paying attention to what our church leaders are saying and doing and what they're wanting to convey in messages, because it could be this denomination today and yours tomorrow, and you had the opportunity to stand up and say, that's not what Scripture says.
Right. And even in the stand, the department that I work here at AFA, we have written about this a bit in the past. Dr. Ray Rooney, actually, a Methodist pastor himself, runs the Stand blog, and he's written some articles or some blogs on this matter, and so has Matthew White, another writer in the Stand. And I think particularly Christians, no matter what our denomination is, I'm not a Methodist, I'm a Baptist, but we all need to be praying for our fellow brothers and sisters in the Methodist denomination, who are seeking to separate themselves from the United Methodist Church over this, because it is not a simple matter.
No.
I mean, for us, for a Baptist, you know, all you do is, you know, you tell your pastor, hey, I'm leaving, and you go.
Yeah.
But is not this, it is not that simple in the Methodist, to my understanding, in the United Methodist Church. And there's very many reasons for that, but I think it is good for us to remember to pray for them as they seek the Lord's will in this and the best way forward, because a lot of them can feel kind of trapped in this. They feel obliged to stay for various reasons, but you know, they're struggling somehow, and we need to be praying for them for an easy way out.
And I've known of certain church congregations as a whole, that whole church has made a vote and moved to move away from that denomination for this very reason. And so just be praying for the church leaders as they make these decisions.
Yeah.
Because I know when you have lived your life, and a lot of people do live their entire life apart, being part of a certain denomination, it can be hard to make that decision to step away from that.
Yeah, it can be very difficult. And, you know, I know we have people that might be in the LGBTQ community listening to us. We do from time to time get them, and they do correspond with us. You know, yes, you are a sinner, but so am I.
Yeah.
And Scripture tells me that God doesn't like things like complaining. He doesn't like people when they're ungrateful. He doesn't like people that lie. Lord knows I've got my share of sins too. Jesus died for all of us.
Right.
And he wants all of us to repent, to put off our ways and to live his ways. And that's why we on this show try our best to share truth and apply Scripture. God loves you. Whatever community you're in, it's my job as a believer in Christ to share the gospel with you so that way all of us hopefully, Lord willing, if he tarries, can put off our ways, repent, get saved, and be with him as God intended in glory at some point in the future.
Yeah. Amen.
God loves you where you are, but he won't leave you there.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And I think the idea of leaving an identity can be scary. That might be an LGBTQ identity. It could be an identity of a wealthy person. It could be whatever that self-centered identity is. But God calls us to a better identity, that is being in Christ. And so that's the message of the gospel. Thank you so much for preaching there, Chris.
Yeah, I am a Baptist myself. Yeah. Sometimes when I have done devotion or whatever, sometimes people will be like, oh, you sound like a Baptist pastor. But that's like— we need more Jesus in this world, as clearly, the organizers of the National Day of Prayer tried to get us to do.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see God's blessings, Monday. Maybe there will be a massive turnout at church tomorrow based on the amount of prayers that went up just a couple of days ago.
Mm.
I hope that's the case. If not, invite somebody that you know with you to the next church service so that hopefully they'll get the good news, get saved, and we'll all be with glory one day. And you'll be watching me on the Good News Network.
Yeah.
Lord knows I'm tired of talking about some of these negative stories. But it is, we all have our calling.
Uh-huh.
This is what God gave me to put food on the table.
Mm-hmm.
I bear with me from time to time if I come in here with bad news.
No, it's fine. We understand. Okay. But, and speaking of the day of prayer, you don't have to wait for that day to roll around in the calendar year. You can have that anytime, it's a reminder, I think, to take prayer seriously. The Lord does, especially if you read Old Testament and New Testament, especially the prayers of Jesus as well, that prayer is effective and it does mean something. It's not an empty repetition. It's not a magical formula. It is communing with the God who created us. And I think that is something that we need to celebrate and participate in every chance we get, especially in light of good news or bad news,
right.
No matter what you bring to us, Chris.
Yeah, I do my best. Now to the election.
Okay.
In lighter news, that's certainly still an issue. Mm-hmm. And I've said this before. I'll say it again if the Lord tarries and we have another show. But we need to be in prayer for this election.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot at stake going on with this election. We're not just picking a president. We're picking the person that's going to pick future Supreme Court justices, pick the men and women to run agencies that are going to decide all kinds of policies. There have been a few controversial ones in recent days.
Yeah.
For example, Title IX has been a big issue. The Biden administration wants to basically redefine the word sex in 1970s law to include sexual orientation and gender identity. Now, homosexuality did exist in the 1970s. It's been around for a very long time, most of time.
Yeah.
But gender identity was certainly never in a thought. And there's no way on the Lord's green earth that in 1972 people were thinking about gender identity when they wrote down the word sex. The reason I bring this up is because this policy, which the Department of Education wants in place by this August 1st, will change everything from bathrooms to locker rooms and possibly even sporting events.
Yeah.
That's a little bit of a gray area right now. The Department of Education says that's on hold, but critics of the Title IX change say, oh no, sports will be impacted because in their own press release, the Department of Education pointed out, quote, education programs and activities, sporting events or activities.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of people are saying they're trying to kind of force states to move in this direction before they even announce that sports will be impacted. That way they don't have to.
Right.
There has been a ton of coverage on this on AFN.net, so do visit our website for more on this. But bottom line is, a lot of people, including state attorneys general, are now suing over this issue in the name of protecting women's safety and fairness in things like sporting events. If you have a sister, if you have a mom that's a track coach, if you have somebody in your church that is in sports or whatever else, there's a lot going on here, and Title IX is the big issue that could be one of the things that drives people to the polls this November.
Yeah.
Well, even if you were to think of it from a liberal standpoint, the fact is that if I can sit here and say, well, today I'm a girl and tomorrow I wake up and go, actually, I'm a boy.
Yeah.
And then you have to treat me completely as such.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a lot of I see a lot more stories about men who are like, this is like my first day being a girl.
Yeah.
And so they now feel the right, some do, to go into you know, women's bathrooms and things like that. Full beard, everything.
Oh, yeah.
They throw on a skirt and a little makeup.
Yeah.
And now...
Man.
And so the switch is supposed to be that fast. Mm-hmm. And then I keep thinking of women's sports and all the girls out there who've worked hard.
Yeah.
And we come from a place where women didn't have as many options and now do. And now that we have those options, we have to open it up.
Yeah, exactly.
Men
who
are bigger than us, stronger than us, and are dominating the field in a lot of places.
Yeah.
Well, and that is even a reason to really pay attention to where your political party is on the issues and whether or not they're staying firmly there.
Yeah.
I bring that up for one reason. People that put Title IX in place... Or the same party that was instrumental in putting Title IX in place is now telling you that a man is a woman and you should quote-unquote believe science. Okay, so that party has moved, but so has the other party.
Yeah.
And they're all doing it on whatever the social whims of the day may be so they could get a few extra people to vote for them. It's funny how politicians only care about your principles when they're running for office, which is why we need to pray for them as well, that they make wise and righteous decisions.
Yeah.
It's a hard word for me to say. But we ourselves need to act that same way.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to change what's going on in the White House or the State House, you got to first focus on your house. And if we get enough houses to do that, then we can actually have an impact in those other houses I just mentioned.
Absolutely. Yep. Well, we only have about 45 seconds left. I want to thank you again for being on with us. Where can people go again to find more news stories?
Yes, AFN.net. Do check us out because we have a new reporter by the name of Bronson Woodruff.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to the radio and print coverage we offer, Bronson is now doing a video update at least once a day. We're shooting for about two or three possibly in the future. So do check that out for Bronson's video updates. And as far as I know, ladies, he is single.
There you go. All right. Poor Bronson's about to get all the emails.
Yes.
All right, guys. Well, we have a lot to pray for concerning the news. So let's get at it. Thank you for listening to Share Truth, Apply Scripture, and we will see you next week. Thank you.